And we welcome you here at the half from Columbia University. Monmouth leading the Lions 13-7. Our halftime show today presented by World Subaru, located on Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls. WorldSubaru.com. They think the world of their customers. Matt Harmon with you here at the break. Monmouth up by six. The scoring plays going like this. Eric Spillane, 46-yard field goal, a career-long, tied a career-long to open up the game. That was the opening drive of the contest. 14 plays, 48 yards. The Lions able to bounce right back on the ensuing drive, a two-play, 53-yard drive that took just 42 seconds off the clock. Marcoris Garrett able to punch it in. Two plays, 53 yards and 42 seconds, 7-3 Lions. Thaddeus Richards on the reverse, his first ever touchdown. Six plays, 47 yards, 2:45 off the clock. Monmouth led 10-7. MU able to chip on three more. Eric Spillane with a 36-yard field goal. That after a seven-play, 24-yard drive that took 78 seconds. And the Hawks lead it 13-7. That a quick peek at our scoring. On the scoreboard right now, we go to the top 25 first, where obviously a busy Saturday's worth of activity. Miami, the number 15 team in the country, leads South Florida 35-7. UCF on top of number 12 South Carolina by a score of 10-0. West Virginia leads number 11 Oklahoma State 24-14. Everything else a bit later on today, including Florida State at Boston College, Clemson home for Wake Forest. LSU will be on the road at number 9 Georgia. The Tigers, the number 6 team in the country, trying to go to 5-0 to open up the year. Notre Dame's home for Oklahoma. Ole Miss on the road trying to upend number 1 Alabama. Number 20 Florida will visit Kentucky. Arkansas home for number 10 Texas A&M. Arizona will square off at number 16 Washington. Fourth-ranked Ohio State home for number 23 Wisconsin. Stanford will be a tough one on the road tonight for the Cardinal at 3-1 Washington State. Number 2 Oregon home for Cal. And 25th-ranked Fresno State will play at 0-3 Hawaii. Meanwhile, games involving Northeast Conference teams. St. Francis, Pennsylvania has opened up a 20-17 advantage on Fordham. Also, Bryant leads Wagner by a score of 10-0. Rhode Island leading Central Connecticut State 14-0. Robert Morris and VMI all square at 7. A couple of games later on tonight, including Sacred Heart playing at Bucknell. As we take a peek at some of the games involving Big South teams, Coastal Carolina and Elon right now tied at 7. Presbyterian will play host to Charlotte a bit later on today. That game actually just getting set to kick off. Charleston Southern will try to go to 5-0. They play at Appalachian State. And also Gardner Webb playing host to Point University Liberty home for Kentucky Wesleyan. Games in the Ivy League today. Yale leading Cornell, a future Monmouth opponent this season, 17-10. Princeton just getting set to kick off down at Georgetown. Villanova is home for UPenn. Also coming up tonight, Holy Cross will be at Dartmouth, and Harvard home for Brown this week number 2 for the Ivy League schools. Monmouth again leading Columbia by a score of 13-7. We step out for a 3-minute timeout. When we come back, Eddie will rejoin us and talk things over with Greg Viscomi in his regular halftime spot. Monmouth up by 6. We're back in 3 minutes. You're listening to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network.
And we are here at halftime. Monmouth leading Columbia at Kraft Field at Wien Stadium, 13-7. Happy to be joined here at the half by Monmouth Assistant Athletic Director Greg Viscomi. Going to give us his thoughts on, Greg, what I thought was, even though it's a close score, a pretty dominant first half from the Monmouth football team.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a mirror of last week. Hawks are only up by 6 points, but they've really driven the ball deep a couple of times, had a missed field goal, had a turnover on downs, really had a fourth and one they were prepared to go for, and then had a delay a game that was actually timeout and had a false start. So I think the offense just needs to get on track a little bit. You've seen glimpses of some really good stuff. I mean, Julian Hayes already has 72 yards, rather. I mean, that is on 18 carries, but I think pretty much it's a lot like last week. I would expect, you know, if the defense can continue to play well, Hawks are going to come out with a probably big victory. Don't forget last week's game with Fordham was a close game at halftime, too. I believe it was a 17-10 game.
And obviously the Rams went on to blow out the Lions in their first game of the season. The offense Greg references put up some pretty impressive first half numbers. They ran an astounding 53 plays.
For Kelly-like.
235 yards. Eagles fan. Greg, they get over 80 on the ground. Brandon Hill, 150 yards in the air. And we came into the game talking about this Hayes and Asante combination. Thus far, first half, all Julian. KB, just four carries for 17. But we should probably look for maybe some increased workload for KB in the second half.
And I think that's kind of how Coach Callahan explained it to me and some of the reporters is, you know, you get used to Julian, and if you're using one back or maybe you're using one back and you got a guy who isn't quite as good as your top back, you know, you're going to use that one back all game long. Well, now, you know, Julian's going to get in the third quarter, maybe have a couple carries, and then the defense is going to start to wear him down. And then where everybody else would go to a guy who's maybe not as good because he's your number two, here we come with KB Asante, fresh legs, and now he's off to 50, 60, 70 yards. Then we come back with Julian, who sat for a couple series, and he's coming back. And that's kind of how it went even last week. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Julian's knocking on 100 yards already. KB only has four carries for 16 yards, but both guys are averaging 4 yards a carry. I mean, that's pretty good, especially since early on the offensive line did not look good this game.
Yeah, first few series they didn't. How about the player that put the touchdown on the board, Thaddeus Richards, two touches, a rushing touchdown on a reverse, and a 34-yard reception from Brandon Hill, making the most out of his limited touches.
Yeah, definitely. And Brandon Hill on that play, he kind of rolled around. And I think if the one knock on or the two knocks on him is sometimes he's a little slow out of the gate throwing the ball. You've seen that a little bit. And the other one is he doesn't really move well in the pocket. I think everybody kind of got spoiled with Kyle Frazier over 4 years. He was able to move around. You know, every time a defensive player thought he had him, Kyle stepped up and made a big throw. Brandon still hasn't shown that to the Hawks yet. However, on that play, he rolled around a little bit, escaped. He probably could have run for a couple yards, but he saw Thad flash open, and every catch that Thaddeus Richards makes, he makes look like a highlight reel. I was down there filming. I don't know if I got it. Look on Monday afternoon to see if I did. I think I did. It's tough on the sidelines because you got all sorts of side judges and everything else running in front of you.
Check that on youtube.com/MammothHawks and also on GoMUHawks.com, the weekly highlight packages. Looking quickly at the defense, Greg, they give up 107 total yards, but 41 of those came on Marcoris Garrett's first quarter touchdown. So since that point, obviously holding Columbia to just over 60 yards of total offense, they look to be, and Matt and I talked about it during the first half, every series they seem to get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't completed a pass over 13 yards. That's pretty good. And the defensive line is, I noticed it down there, it's getting a good rush. And even when he gets the ball off, that quarterback's on the ground, I would say, once out of every three or four time, or once out of every two passes, he's at least picking himself off the ground, and Coach Jackson's got to be pretty happy with that. One thing that sticks out to me, 0-4 on third down for the Monmouth Hawks. That's the defense just getting off the field and, of course, forcing two turnovers, I believe.
Yeah, so far
the interception.
The fumble recovery, as you said, and then the interception. Darnell Leslie has a pick in this game. It was credited as such, and a sack. Another guy that just series by series just seems to be getting better and better.
Well, he was a guy that everybody's high on. He redshirted last year, was a little lean. He still is lean, but he has got physical skills that we don't know if we've seen out of a defensive lineman at Monmouth. He is just very, very physically gifted, and I think he's just getting going. You know, I was driving to work the other day thinking to myself, man, Darnell, you know, I really expect him to have a sack. And then I stopped and I said, wait a minute. Kid's played four collegiate games. Mm-hmm. And one of them, he had 3.5 tackles for a loss. So I think this is a little preview of what's to come. He's a beast, and he's going to make some freshman mistakes like every freshman on the field does. But they're really turning him loose, and he's buried that QB a couple times.
Yeah, the defensive line, the last really 2.5 games has been really good. Going back to the second half of that Lehigh game at home. Here at halftime, Monmouth leads Columbia 13-7, stealing a few minutes of Greg Viscomi's time at halftime. And Greg, need to take a look at not only what's happening here in New York City, but busy day on campus as well. Two soccer games, 1 and 7 o'clock with the women and the men, and the great Hawk Vision setup that you guys have. Both games being broadcast today, so full Saturday in work for the office.
It always is. It is for the entire campus. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff going on. And those of you who could not come out to the Columbia game, you know, we have a 7 o'clock home soccer game. There's a 1 o'clock game going on right now for the Red Hot Women's Soccer Team, who I believe are 7-1 entering into today. So that'll be exciting. And that's a fun team to go out there and watch. You got a couple studs on that team. And, you know, I'm sure Coach Figgs, I think they come back tomorrow.
I believe so,
hockey team's got a game tomorrow. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And we're just getting into that MAC play. So our fans ought to come out and start to learn some of these teams that we'll be facing for the, you know, distant future in the MAC.
Yeah, some names that you're not used to seeing as conference opponents. Definitely get used to seeing that. Also getting used to hearing this guy, Greg, with me at halftime. Like to get him on the road every time. So always curious, not only your view of the game, but your view of the way up. So the rumor had it that the traffic was just horrendous coming up today. Matt, myself, and Gary got through no problem. Matt Harmon knows everyone in the media business. He's calling radio stations in New York. We're getting right through, and that was the trip up with the team on the bus.
It wasn't bad. It was pretty easy, and we knocked between going to the Lincoln Tunnel or going over to GW because there's some kind of four-car accident. I actually talked to the equipment guys who left this morning to bring the gear up, and it took them 3.5 hours because of an accident on the GW. So, no, it wasn't bad at all. We had a little bit of traffic in Fort Lee heading in. Fort Lee, of course, home of one and only David Kennedy, number 73.
There you go.
Throw a little second team All-NEC defensive lineman for the Hawks. So anyway, yeah, hit a little bit of traffic there, but it wasn't bad. And you know, the way Columbia's set up, I mean, it's in the middle of the city, so you got to walk a little bit. The guy, we had to walk uphill a little bit, so I think maybe we were a little tired in the first half. Who knows?
Well, just because we were a little tired, I don't think that means the team was, as we had to lug the stuff a few blocks.
Oh.
Just about ready for the second.
I was ready to take a nap.
Just about ready for the second half. Greg, some things that we should keep an eye on here in the second 30 minutes.
I think Brandon Hill will continue to get more comfortable back there, and he's done that in every game so far. Second half has been much better than the first half. I think you're going to see a little bit of that. I think you're going to probably – I mean, the D-backs have been close to picking off a couple balls. There's got to be one coming at some point. But they got it. This is a big opening drive. You know, you want to try to stop them. You're still up by six and then get field position. I mean, you felt like the momentum could have turned a little bit when we didn't make it on the fourth down, and they punted, and they got a really good punt. Kind of pinned us deep. We got out of there a little bit, but then we had to punt the other way. And you thought, oh, no, here comes field position battle. And when it's a close game, at the time it was 10-7. That's kind of what how these games are won and lost with field position. But I think the Hawks are doing great. I think, you know, I'm always impressed with the halftime adjustments that our coaching staff makes. Specifically, I think they had some trouble figuring out what they were going to do defensively because we only had one game of tape, and I know Coach Gabriel and Coach Van Zyl and Coach Gallo, they're really going to figure out that front five plus one, you know, front six with the tight end, and you're going to see these backs really start to take off, and Neil Sterling's going to get into it. He had the one pass. They didn't call any interference. I was down there in the corner. Kid didn't even turn around. He just basically was running to catch up with Neil, and I guess they called it a breakup. It looked like it bounced off the top of his helmet or something. But I think you're going to see Neil get a little more involved, and we're going to run the ball. And I don't know what you're going to see out of the defense. We haven't really blitzed, but I don't really think we've had to because the front four have done a great job.
Keep an eye on that for the second half. Monmouth on top of Columbia, 13-7. Greg, we appreciate a few of your minutes here at halftime. Keep up with Greg tweeting all second half at MUHawksFB. Appreciate it, Greg. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Eddie.
For Monmouth Assistant Athletic Director Greg Viscomi, I'm Eddie Acapinti. We'll send you back to the studio for a one-minute timeout. We'll come back. I'll be rejoined by Matt Harmon, and we'll get ready for the second half with Monmouth leading Columbia 13-7. 60-second timeout here on the Shore Sports Network.